said, Lord, may it be pleased to help me this evening. I direct you to a word in which, in the chapter which we read, at Hebrews chapter 10, we read verses 35 and 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Verses 35 and 36, chapter 10, the book of the Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. This is one of those gracious exhortations which are found in the Word of God. And what needful exhortations they are. And while this word was given through the apostle to the believing Jews, these Hebrews, as a word in season for them, surely we have to consider such words as these as often being a word in season. These people to whom the apostle is writing had to endure much for their profession of religion in the faith which they professed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They suffered much from their own people, the Jews themselves. There was such a spirit of enmity manifest amongst the Jews, those who were still in blindness and who were not called by grace, they did evidence such enmity to the Lord Jesus Christ and those who profess his name. And this being so, these dear people who were blessed with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and true repentance, precious gifts that the God is pleased to bestow to poor sinners, and that they were the subjects of these gifts, yet they had to endure much. They often proved that the pathway was through much tribulation. We've been reminded somewhat of this in the chapter where the apostle brings us to consider something of these things. And he puts it like this. He says, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. And it was a great fight of afflictions. And they were made a gazing stock. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. And the apostle realised that it meant much to them to continue in their profession of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There were many obstacles, many difficulties, and indeed fierce temptations at times, and they were called upon to endure these things. And there is some evidence that there were some who did fall away, as it were, proved to be apostates. A solemn consideration that is. But here the apostle is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given this word of gracious exhortation to the people of God. First, of course, to these persecuted Hebrews, and indeed a word to all God's dear people, down through the generations. And I do hope that one might be helped for a little while this evening just to consider this word. And one can only do so in a simple way, but hoping perhaps it might be a word profitable to consider. And the Lord would make his word profitable to us. How vital, how important that is. We do become accustomed to hearing the word preached, it may well be, oftentimes. But how much do you and I know of the word being made effectual in our hearts, and to have that gracious effect upon our spirit, and for it to be indeed like as the Lord Jesus Christ described in the parable of the sower sowing the seed and the different places where the seed fell. What a mercy to be, as it were, a good ground hearer. And if you and I, through God's great mercy, are made to be good ground hearers, then there will be a reception of God's truth. And not always would it be a word of promise or comfort, but sometimes a word of instruction, perhaps a word of exhortation. It may be sometimes a word of reproof. But what a mercy when the word finds an entrance. And this is by the power of God. His sovereign power alone can apply the word, make it profitable in the hearts of his dear people. And so may we be helped for a little while then this evening just to consider this word. And first of all, we are reminded of a confidence. Cast away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There's a confidence that the Lord is pleased to graciously work in the hearts of his dear people. There may be varying degrees of confidence, but the great point is this, isn't it? This confidence that the text speaks of is a well-grounded confidence. It's not a false confidence, not a false zeal, not a self-confidence either. But what is it then? Well, it is a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and all that he is and all that he has been and what he has done for his dear people. A confidence in him. And that confidence also is set before us in the Word of God as one of those things to do with a godly fear in the heart, where the Lord is pleased to implant that principle of holy filial fear in the heart. The Word of God tells us that the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. And the Apostle Paul, as the Lord was pleased to deal with him and call him by grace, he began to learn something of this confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew what it was to have to cast away all his former confidences, which were false confidences. You see, there is a false confidence. Saul of Tarsus, as he was then, he had much confidence in his zealous religion, but it was false. It was not a God-given confidence. And the time came when the Lord dealt with him and cut him down on the road to Damascus. He had to begin to learn what it was to cast away that confidence. And so then any confidence in the flesh needs to be cast away. So then the confidence in the text is something quite different. But it's something, as it were, if I can put it this way, for better language, something which is held on to. Something held on to. And the implication of the text surely is this, that there are those things which may tend, for God's dear people at times, to, as it were, lose a measure of confidence. That is, in their realisation, their interest in God's great salvation, may be tempted and tried. And Satan is a master hand at this. And he will attack this confidence. He will attack those in whom this confidence is wrought. And he would, to this end, if possible, to cause them to cast it away. Although he will not be permitted to do that. But you see, God's dear people sometimes, under the powerful temptation of the enemy, may tend sometimes to lose the comfort and lose the strength that God is pleased to give to his dear people with respect to this confidence. It may be attacked, it's tried. But you see, the exhortation is this: cast not away therefore your confidence. And whenever we come to consider words of exhortation, we do need to remember that such is the sufficiency of God's grace, whereby they're enabled to rightly heed the exhortations that the Word of God gives. You see, a poor sinner taught of God is made to realise that he has no strength in himself. And while he has to learn that there's no confidence in the flesh, and he cannot put his confidence in those things which are just, as it were, like the shell. Yet often in felt weakness and in the face of temptations, and as it was with these believing Jews here, with the persecutions they were called upon to endure, their religion was put to the test, wasn't it? Yes, it was put to the test. But what a mercy, dear friends, that God's grace is sufficient. And it is sufficient to supply every need in the light of these gracious exhortations. And so then the apostle gives this word, and may we not view it too as a word of encouragement to pilgrims journeying on in the way. And like these Hebrews, having to realise there are the difficulties, there are the oppositions, there are the fierce temptations, there is the spirit of the world, and indeed what there is in our own hearts by nature. But there is this blessed confidence, yes, which is not to be cast away. But we do well, do we not, to examine ourselves, as it were, with regard to this. What is our confidence? You find there's a question in one of the parts of the Old Testament: where is thy confidence? He was spoken by some enemies, but there's a great point in that word, just in that question: where is thy confidence? Is it centred in what you may feel, your frame and feelings? Indeed, that's no foundation for a good confidence, is it? But is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Who he is and what he has done, his atoning sacrifice. You will notice that the apostle in this epistle to the Hebrews often directs the dear people to the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning sacrifice, mentioned in this chapter which we have read. And that is one aspect of the confidence that the Lord is pleased to work in the hearts of his dear people. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done in that one great sacrifice for sins. And when perhaps sometimes you're made to realise something of your weakness, your guiltiness, and sometimes it may be perhaps tried as to whether you know anything saving of God's truth, and there may be the temptations, the evil insinuations of the enemy, as it were, to shake your confidence and to shake your faith. How good it is if you are graciously directed, and we do need the Holy Spirit to do this. The apostle sought to bring these dear Hebrews to consider these things as they were helped to do so, things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is the great remedy, isn't there? And whatever there may be that comes into your experience, which may perhaps sometimes seem to shake you and shake your confidence, all to be directed graciously to the Lord Jesus Christ. And miss all your weakness and the temptation of the enemy to be led to consider him. Notice the apostle how he directs these Hebrews in this way. We have those precious words in the 12th chapter of this same epistle, and he seeks to encourage the dear people in that journey to heaven, though it was a painful journey, a path of affliction and adversity. But he directs them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and really surely that is one aspect, one function of the gospel, isn't it? The gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, and for poor sinners to be directed to it. And good it is if through the preaching of the gospel sometimes you may be graciously directed to him whose gospel it is. Well, what said the apostle? He says this: wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race is set before us. And how is this race to be run then? How can it be run? Not in creature strength, no. Not in and by false confidence, no. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, to consider Jesus, to look to him. And he says this: for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, to consider the Lord Jesus Christ and what he endured. And how the sinners, yes, the contradiction of sinners against himself, all those things the dear Saviour suffered for his dear people. Yes, there were contradicting statements concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, utter falsehoods, but the Lord Jesus Christ endured those things. And now the apostle then, in the word of God, directs these people to the Lord Jesus Christ and his sufferings and his final victory over sin and death and hell. Well, here is the ground of a poor sinner's confidence. The great mercy, dear friends, if at times you're made to realise that here and here alone is your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though perhaps you may feel, and we do, to know so little of him, we would know more. But he is the foundation of all true confidence, and he will become the foundation, the true confidence of all his dear people. And though this confidence may be shaken sometimes through the temptation of the enemy, yet you see, it will abide. Yes, and there's something about this text to bring us to consider. There are those ways in which those who are blessed in this way to be helped to hold on, as it were. Yes, to hold on prayerfully, and to hold on hopefully. And it was relation to this confidence. In one of the earlier chapters, the apostle reminds us of these things in one or two ways. He puts it like this: but Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Notice those words, that scripture. Christ the son over his own house. And his people are that house, as it were, whose house are we? And he goes on to speak of this confidence. And this confidence has been held fast, firm unto the end. Only by God's grace. And yet surely it is something to light a heart. And when perhaps you may feel in your own soul very tempted and tried, may the Lord graciously help you and direct you to him. Yes, who really is your confidence and your hope of salvation. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Oh, here the word of God reminds us that there is recompense, there is reward. Yes, not by way of merit, but in that which the Lord has decreed and purposed for the eternal good of his dear people for time and for eternity. Yes, a great recompense of reward. And then there's this word that follows, which was really a word that seemed to lay hold upon me more particularly. And it is this. He says, "For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." For ye have need of patience. You see, there is this confidence which is graciously wrought in a poor sinner's heart, being made to know something of his fallen and lost condition himself, his only hope in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's sovereign grace and mercy to be made known to him. But there is this patience, the need of it. Then we can put it the other way, as you may feel sometimes the lack of it. For ye have need of patience. And there's a meaning in this word patience of continuing, enduring. Oh, what a great mercy it is to be enabled to continue and to endure. And we have need of this grace. We need this patience which God alone can give. And yet, as the Lord was pleased to remind the Apostle Paul in his difficulty, in his trials, and with regard to the thorn in the flesh. What a precious word came from heaven to the Apostle Paul in the midst of these things. My grace is sufficient for thee. And in the light of this word here, if you have need of patience, God has grace to give. Yes, grace to enable a poor sinner to continue, in spite of all his weakness, in spite of all his sin, his many failings. There is this grace. Yes, he's able to abound. This grace which is sufficient, my grace, said the Lord to the apostle, my grace is sufficient for thee. No doubt the Apostle Paul himself, his confidence somewhat shaken, as he had to realize there was this thorn in the flesh, and how he describes it in one way like this: a messenger of Satan to buffet him. The dear man had these buffetings of Satan, and it must have shaken his confidence sometimes, so that he could speak very feelingly with regard to this exhortation, inspired by the Holy Spirit as he was to write it. And that need of patience. Of course, as we know, Paul prayed, didn't he? He prayed three times that thorn might be removed, but the Lord made it very plain to the Apostle that this was not the will of God. Not the will of God. It was God's will that thorn should remain. But the Lord granted to Paul his sanctifying grace. And Paul had to learn what it was to feel his own weakness and infirmity in order that he might glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to realize that there and there alone was his confidence. But this patience. There again, the apostle had to learn this, didn't he? He had to journey on, labour on with this thorn in the flesh. Although it must have been sometimes a soul-humbling experience, he's made to realise these infirmities and the buffetings of Satan, and yet to endure these things and to continue in the face of these things. Oh, it is a great mercy, dear friends, if we're enabled to continue. Yes. We may, as it were, run with tardy steps sometimes. What a mercy to continue. What a striking word it is in the closing verse of this chapter, where the apostle says this. He says, "We're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." He had no pleasure in those that drew back. Evidently there were some who did draw back. There were those disciples, those who seemed to be disciples when the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth. They drew back, they went back. Yes, the word was too searching for them, and they were offended at it. And they turned their backs upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious truth. Walk no more with him. But you see, there were those who did continue. When the Lord Jesus Christ put the question to his disciples, "Will you also go away?" Peter speaks for himself and 10 of the others when he said this, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now, notice, there was a confidence that was wrought in Peter's heart there. And while the word doesn't tell us how many, but there were those who went back and walked no more with him, Peter felt in his heart such a persuasion in the light of these things that here alone was his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God-given faith enabled him to realise who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And he knew something of the secret of the power of his word. What did Peter say? He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure." And now that was a humble confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not a boasting manner, no. But really some blessed confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not spoken presumptuously. Now, of course, dear Peter had yet some solemn lessons to learn with regard to himself and his own weakness, but there was the root of the matter. Yes, there was this confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially in the light of what the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed, his precious truth. And you know, there's a sense in which, under the gospel of Jesus Christ, as is proclaimed, when it reaches the heart and is made profitable to the soul, there's a sense in which there's a confidence wrought. Yes, in what the gospel proclaims. And that will not be anything to emulate the creature, no, but rather to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Peter expressed himself in that way, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." What a description, is it, of the gospel? "Thou hast the words of eternal life." The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou words of life. words of eternal life. And at that time, the Apostle Peter felt fully persuaded that the mercy was to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where else could he go? Nowhere else. To whom could he turn? To nobody else. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a confession of faith, wasn't it? You see, there was something about the teaching, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ that so wrought in Peter's soul, caused him to make that confession. Now there is that precious secret then with regard to the gospel, which is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of grace, the word of salvation through grace. Yes, by faith, the ground and foundation of a poor sinner's confidence. But then this calls for patience. There is this enduring, this going on, this continuing, this, as it were in a sense, this running of the race. This not giving up, but continuing. Although it may well be sometimes, like you read concerning Gideon's army, you know, God wrought a great victory over the Midianites through Gideon's army. But you go on, you read on a little further, and as they pursued the enemy, there was this word concerning them, faint yet pursuing. Faint yet pursuing. How descriptive that is, isn't it? Of the experience of God's dear people, oftentimes. Faint, yes. But they feel their weakness. They realise that they have no strength in themselves. But pursuing. Indicates that a continuing, a going on. And so Paul said, we have no, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May not be able to boast of great faith, but oh, what a mercy to have a grain of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore for there to be that measure of confidence in him. You see, to know something of this, we have to realise that we have no confidence in the flesh. We dare not have any confidence in that which is just outward, be it outward religion. But you want something real. Yes, you want something which is solid. That which is lasting. I've sometimes thought that here, that word in the book of the Proverbs. But we read this, that the Lord loves those that I haven't got the text quoted right now, but it is this: He will fill their treasures. He'll cause those that love. The Lord says, "I will cause those that love me to inherit substance." No, they inherit substance as that is granted to them. They come into the inheritance, as it were. There is that substance, to put it very simply, real religion. Yes. Life in the soul, grace, that is substance. Not empty show, but substance. That which will stand every test. But you see, there will be the tests. There is a testing time. And therefore, how needful is this word of exhortation, for you have need of patience. How often we feel to lack it, don't we? Yes, patience in the light of the Lord's dealings. Patience with regard to the working out of his purposes. That is, as far as the poor sinner is concerned, God will work out his purposes, and nothing can frustrate that. But there is an unfolding, you see, of his purposes. And what a mercy to be found in an awaiting attitude. And for this, a poor sinner needs patience. Yes, that patient waiting. There's a word of the apostles, his expressed desire to the church at Thessalonica. It is this, a prayer. He says, the Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And the margin is the patience of Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he patiently endured the tremendous weight which was laid upon him as he suffered for sinners. How he patiently bore all this. And the scoffing of his enemies, the cruel death, he patiently endured. And now, in a very small measure, his dear people are called upon to follow in his steps. Yes. And how needful is faith and patience. Faith and patience. You have need of patience. For that, after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There is the will of God. And there is the exercise of patience, you see, with respect to the will of God. There are those things, with respect to the will of God, revealed in God's word. And his will concerning his dear people, his revealed will. And good it is to be exercised in the light of God's truth, which reveals his will. But then there are his secret purposes. That which will be unfolded with respect to his dear people as they journey on in this pathway of life here below. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you see that there's a going on, yes, as it were, in his will. And we might look at it like this. With regard to the will of God, surely it is his will, it is revealed in the scripture, isn't it? That his dear people shall wait upon him, that they shall call upon him, that they shall look to him. Yes. To learn dependence upon him. This is the will of God. And with regard to the way of life, says the apostle, the will of God, even your sanctification. Oh, to know God's separating and sanctifying grace. This is the will of God. And so there's the will of God, and as it were, to be enabled by his grace to walk within that will. Even though it may be sometimes it is like this, your own will has to be crossed, doesn't it? It needs grace to say, thy will be done. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There is this blessed and precious expectation, and as it were, that which holds out hope and comfort and encouragement for God's dear people. That after you've done the will of God, and what that will is for you in life's pathway, to do that will by his grace, humbly, yes, sincerely, you might receive the promise. You see, this patience will be rewarded. Not in the way of merit, no, but in God's purposes of grace with dear people. There's a promise, and what is this promise? You might receive the promise. Well, it could be summed up in this, couldn't it? Eternal life. Eternal life. Yes. Spiritual life implanted here for the pilgrim as he journeys on, but the prospect of eternal life. Oh, that is the prospect before these dear people. Yes, having to journey on through much tribulation, amidst many temptations, yes, many besetments it may be, many discouragements. Yet there is the purpose of God fulfilled in this there is the promise of eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ has procured this for all his dear people. And so his atoning sacrifice, his meritorious death, there is a certainty of that eternal life to come to all his dear people. And meanwhile, how we do need grace, do we not? To be found within the compass of such a word as this. And to give heed to the exhortation. Cast not away, therefore. Satan may suggest, yes, to cast away your little hope, but that's Satan's suggestion. What a mercy that grace shall reign. And that strength is sufficient because it comes from a wonderful source in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. There is this waiting, you see, until that appointed time. And so in the following verse, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Well, there may be things where it seems as though the Lord tarries, but the promise is sure. The promise is certain. God is faithful, was promised. He's able to do that which he has promised, and he will perform his promise, and his word is purpose toward his dear people, yes, each one of them. Oh, that the Lord will grant us grace. How we need this patience. The word reminds us, doesn't it? For we have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Yes, and it is in this way, isn't it? All of grace. Yes, grace here and glory hereafter. Amen.
This evening by singing hymn number 628. The tune is Moxon 757. My soul shall with wonder proclaim the love of my Father and God, whose promises ever remain, and each in its course is made good. They're great, and exceeding great too, more precious than rubies by far. Like streams from the fountain they flow, and Zion preserve from despair. Like Abraham and Sarah have I endeavored with reason and wit, some blessing to get and enjoy much sooner than God promised it. Like them too I've proved in the end, my labor brought bondage and pain, and yet, oh, how faithful's my friend, in due time the true blessing came. Hymn number 628.
would be pleased to mercifully forgive anything spoken amiss, and do bless thine own precious truth to our hearts. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon us and abide with us, and with the dear people of God everywhere, now and forever. Amen.